together.
Better together. The next two Sundays, I just want to encourage you, do not miss out on signing up for life groups. There's going to be a bunch of new ones out there, and you do not want to miss finding your people, just like you heard in the video. We're better together. It's one thing, some people almost think that they live their life like they're a hermit. You are not created to live life by yourself. You need to find your people. I want to encourage you to be here on time next week. Some of the groups are close to full. You need to get here every week on time. But next week, make sure you're here on time. Get the first thing you do before your coffee, you find your group, sign your name. Don't mess out. We've been here at Tiffany Fellowship Church for 14 years now. We've always been in a group. We have a group we have been in, had in our home for 10 years now this year. And you need to be a part. You need to find your people. So I just want to encourage you. You're going to be hearing more about this, but next Sunday and then the Sunday after as well. You know this by now, but sometimes we find ourselves in a season. We find ourselves in a season that maybe is uncomfortable. Maybe it's not where we like to be. Maybe it's today. Maybe you found yourself, okay, it's negative 500 degrees outside. There's snow. And what am I going to do? I just want to encourage you, first off, if you are mad about that, please forgive me right now. Pastor Jason, he came and gave me some business this morning. I'm that guy that was praying for snow. I'm that guy that prays for cold weather. So if you're mad this morning, please forgive me, okay? But I love this season, so hopefully it's not stretching you too far. Every once in a while, we find ourselves in a different season. We find ourselves in a season that we would say, you know what? I wish I wasn't in it. I wish I could jump this season. We're going to deal with that in here in a little bit. But maybe it's a season where you find life that it just slows down to a crawl. You wish it would go quicker. You wish it was moving faster, and you find yourself stretched. Maybe it's a time where you're not where you used to be. Maybe it's a time where you know you're heading someplace, but you know, I don't know where I'm going. It's a time that maybe is filled with anticipation, uncertainties, anxiety, fear, sometimes frustration. We find ourselves stretched many times, and at this particular place, it comes in all sorts of forms. This place I'm going to refer to this morning is the waiting room. You and I find ourselves in the waiting room over and over in our life. We find it in all kinds of forms. I'll just list a couple of them, and probably very close come to touching everyone in the room. Maybe you've sat in a doctor's waiting room waiting for your name to be called. You're looking up there, and you know you dialed in. You pulled that old school, remember old school where you pull a ticket? I got 55, and they just called five. You know you got a long wait ahead. You're in trouble. Maybe you're in a business lobby, and you're there for an interview, and you're anxious. Am I going to remember what I got coached up about regarding this job? Maybe you're in a hospital waiting room waiting for news. Maybe you're in life's waiting room, waiting for answers, waiting for a future mate, maybe waiting for God to move, maybe waiting for a healing, direction, maybe waiting for a spouse or a child to turn back to God. Maybe waiting for them to turn to God for the very first time. The list of possibilities goes on and on. Each one in this room, probably if you were honest, you would say, you know what, Pastor Dave, there's a part of my life I'm in a season of waiting. It comes in all forms, and we're stretched. We find ourselves stretched, and we got to be careful with this season, and you'll hear here shortly, we're going to get some great advice, some great coaching from the Apostle Paul regarding this. I'll be honest with you this morning, I'm not the best at waiting. I find myself, I thought I was patient, I thought I was at least decent at waiting. 2025, I found myself in waiting rooms multiple times, and I realized that I had some things I needed to work on. I found myself feeling some emotions that I would normally find myself keeping under control. I found myself stretched due to a couple stories that came into our life. You and I have to be careful. We need to say, you know what, Lord, be with this. Be with this idea of the waiting room. Even now, we see those words, and maybe we're like, oh, the waiting room stretches me out. Even now, I don't even want to think about it. Maybe even in the room, there's some. I have the privilege due to my job. My job is, part of my job duties is care pastor. So I get to visit people in the hospital. I get to be with ones in hospice. I have the privilege of being in those moments. Whether we celebrate a new baby or we celebrate maybe a healing or maybe we mourn together. I've been in many waiting rooms. And every time we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, we are stretched in a special way when we find ourselves in that spot. So we got to be careful. We're going to hear from the Apostle Paul here shortly on some ideas and some things, some reminders. When we find ourselves in a waiting room, what are we going to do? He will issue a strong advice here shortly. So if you would stand, we're going to look at Romans 13 this morning. We're going to only deal with four verses, and we'll have a conversation about them. I would ask you just to prepare your heart, even in a way, before we read these, that to me, I want to encounter the Bible versus just read it. I want to encounter being, we say the Bible is alive, and we need to ask God, you know what? Make it alive in my life. So Romans 13, 11 through 14, let's read. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immoralities and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to remind you again, I want to say that phrase again because you're going to hear about it here shortly. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Let's pray. Father, we ask you even now, we believe the Bible, the Word of God, is living and alive, and we ask you even now that it would touch our hearts, it would touch our spirit, it would make us different as we walk out of this room. If it is alive, we pray even now that our hearts would be stirred, our hearts would be soft, our ears would be wide open, our eyes would be focused in, where we'd say, okay, Lord, what do you have to say to me this morning? I pray be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would be seated. This passage gives us strong advice on our wait for our Lord to return, but it also gives us strong advice for the waits, the seasons we find in our life, in our daily walk. You heard many strong verbs he used to coach us. You heard do this. You heard wake up. You heard put aside, put on, behave decently. Then lastly, clothe yourself. Many verbs we're going to work on here shortly. While we wait, Paul gives us one command that shapes everything else. And I would ask, if you remember anything this morning, if you don't capture anything except this one sentence, if you let it go into your heart and your spirit and your daily walk, your feet, you'll be changed. That phrase, that sentence is, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus while you wait. Easy to read, easy to say, totally different to walk out. We have a lot of choices to make with regard to that. We have to be careful. We have to go out of our way to clothe ourselves properly, which we'll hear about shortly. So if you catch anything, that one sentence alone, that one sentence will be the heart of the message today. This must be the wardrobe of the waiting room. So today I want to speak to you just for a couple moments, a message I've entitled, The Waiting Room. The Waiting Room. There are many admonitions in the Bible about how to wait. You probably know some of them. And today we will be reminded of just four from this passage. This short passage, there will be four that I've entitled, Waiting Room Guidelines. You know, over and over from the pulpit, Pastor reminds us of context and asks us to consider what's around the passage that we're looking at. And Romans 13 is a very practical chapter, one that is full of advice, full of strong practical advice for us. I just picked out a couple of the items. This comes with a full practical teaching on being subject to authority. We hate that, even the very thought of it sometimes. But in chapter 13, it begins and coaches us on being subject to authority. Not that they're perfect, not that we agree with everything that they do or say, but he coaches us as Christians, as men and women of God, to be subject to authority, to pay our taxes. Unfortunately, right around the corner, right, April 15th, where maybe some in the room are already dreading the very thought of doing our taxes, but in part of the context of this passage we're looking at this morning, we hear we're supposed to pay our taxes, pay your debts, love one another, and obey the commandments. And then at the end of the chapter, we arrive at our thought for the day. The coming of the Lord is discussed, and this morning we're going to look at the idea of the waiting room, the waiting room. So hopefully you can receive from the Word of God four things which I've entitled Waiting Room Guidelines. I don't know about you, but when it comes to going to the doctor, especially men, we avoid it like the plague, right? We're not going to go unless we have to, unless our wife bugs us over and over again. It probably never happens in this room. Nope, there's a couple of y'all that does, right? I see ladies are already poking their husbands. But we find ourselves getting there, and it's like we're already uneasy, and we look up, okay, the list of things, guidelines for the waiting room. They're different there than what we're going to work with today. Waiting room guidelines. First guideline I want to aim you at, it sounds simple, and it should be simple, but it's hard at times, and that is stay awake. Stay awake. I grew up in a pastor's home. I forgot about this illustration this morning, but I did not dare go to sleep during a sermon. When your father is preaching the Word of God and he looks out there and sees his son asleep, you're in big trouble. You are in big trouble. And very well at times I remember, son, wake up. Right in front of everybody, right? But this morning, what is the Lord saying to us? Sons, daughters, and he's saying it so lovingly, wake up. Stay awake. Wake up, my friends. Stay awake. He's looking down at his sons and daughters lovingly saying, stay awake. So our first guideline regarding the waiting room is simple, but so important. Paul begins with urgency. He starts by saying, do this. You remember that in the front of our passage, and do this. I was pondering the scripture a little different as I prepared this particular time, and I asked the Lord, just help me try to understand and encounter and think. You know, you think about the Bible. They were moved upon, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit and started writing down things. I just wondered what it was like. I wondered what an encounter. The very first time Romans 13 is being written, you're hearing it from God, you're writing it down. And in this passage, the second and third word, do this. If I'm the Apostle Paul, I'm stopping a moment. I'm going, okay, all right, Lord, let me sober up a second. Let me get ready because something very special is coming right after. Do this. Obviously, the Lord doesn't mince and waste words, and we're going to hear what comes after those words. Do this. In a world that doesn't like to be told what to do, he doesn't beat around the bush, does he? Our Lord doesn't beat around the bush. He gets in our business. He gets right in the middle of, you may not like it, but our first guideline, stay awake. I felt the Lord lovingly remind me as well. Dave, stay awake. Verse 11, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. Right there in our passage, it tells us, wake up. So if ones find themselves asleep, we need to determine, and this first guideline for the waiting room, I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to stay awake. Why? Because I don't know about you, waiting makes you sleepy, makes you drowsy sometimes. When you think about going to the doctor's office or waiting on something in life, you get drowsy quick. Paul tells us not to wait passively. He says, wait awake, wait alert. Do this, he says. Paul is sounding an alarm, and this morning I want to sound the alarm as well. If you find yourself in a waiting season, of course all of us are waiting for the Lord to return. It'd be so grand. Yes, indeed, I'm going to watch some football today. I got hopes and whatever. I got my teams and thinking about that, but it wouldn't be so great. Maybe we didn't even make it home. We found ourselves right in front of the Lord for the very first time. That'd be much better. But while we wait, we have some things to do. He says, don't fall asleep. Don't get comfortable. Don't get distracted. Don't get spiritually drowsy, especially in your season of waiting. Whatever form it's come in, whatever package it's been delivered to your address, we must be careful. Ephesians 5:16 goes right along with this idea. Redeem the time because the days are evil. When you sit in a room, waiting room long enough, you start scrolling, you flip through magazines, you zone out, you may take a nap, and spiritually the same thing can happen. We must redeem the time. We must stay awake. A season in the waiting room is a vulnerable time. We must be careful with. We easily can make bad decisions. So we can see why our Lord, through the Apostle Paul, right at the front of this passage says, do this. We know waiting is not wasted time unless you sleep through it. Then it creates a totally different time for us. In the waiting room, God is calling his people. Hopefully, maybe some of these things, maybe you're already doing it, but I just wrote down, the list could be a mile long, but I just wrote down five things, maybe for us and me and you. In the waiting room, God is calling his people to spiritual alertness. Maybe calling you to pray with expectation. Maybe you've given up on praying over something. I have the privilege of leading the men on Saturday morning. We don't give up on anything. We don't give up. Nope, we will not give up. We will not give up on anything. We have a list, and there's lots of people on the list, and we go through it over and over. We're not giving up. We pray with expectation, asking God, because you know what? I don't know about you, but I keep a track. I got on my phone, there's a note of all the healings that's happened at Tiffany Fellowship Church. I got Pastor Emily on that list. I got multiple people on that list. And guess what? Every once in a while, the men know I go there about once a quarter. I'll just, before we pray on anything, I got a list I want to read you. And we'll just go down the list of all the healings that's happened in our family unit. That creates something different when we go to pray. So we're going to pray with expectation. When Pastor Emily leads us in worship, we're going to worship with conviction. We're going to serve with passion. Wherever we have locked in and are serving in this church, we're going to serve with passion. We're going to love with urgency. We're going to live with purpose. We're going to stay awake. We're going to stay awake. Waiting. Waiting is not passive. Waiting is preparation. You're going to see in just a moment what we're preparing for. You heard it probably in that passage, but I have great news here in a moment. We're preparing for something very important. So our second guideline when it comes to the waiting room, I just put it a little different, but your stay is temporary. Your stay is temporary. You know, when we go through a wait, we can sometimes say phrases that we know better to phrase. Like, say, the Lord's not going to answer my prayer. You find yourself getting stuck in a spot that you have no business getting stuck in. Maybe you even wonder, does the Lord even hear my prayer? Has he forgot about me? What's going on with the Lord? I see other people get their prayers answered. That's something we battle through with the men. Why does the Lord heal this one and this one is waiting? We battle through that as a team. But we don't give up. We're saying, you know what? We don't know that answer. We don't know that answer, but we're gonna keep after it. Your stay is temporary. I say to you this morning, don't dare find yourself moving into a thought life, a mental state that you're just stuck. I'm stuck. He's not. He's answering their prayer. Their prayer. He's forgot about me. Don't dare. Don't dare find yourself. Yep. I don't know everything that's going on with your weight. I know some things that's been going on in my weight, and at times he's working out a little. There's a little edge. There's a little edge that's right there. He knows right where it is, and maybe a little longer wait is what I need. Painful as it is. Your stay is not temporary. Let's look at what our passage has to say. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Obviously, good news for sure. When you think of those words, your stay is not temporary. Nearer, nearly over, almost here. We can be encouraged right in the middle of our wait, right this moment. Each one in this room, if I was to go around or we had time, we don't have the time today, I'm waiting on this. I'm waiting on this. I'm waiting on over and over. We could go down. Everybody would probably be able to fill in that phrase and say, okay, here's where I'm at already. I know exactly what this message is for regarding my life. 2 Corinthians affirms this as well. Chapter 4, verse 17. This is a popular verse. You very well may know it, but for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So when it comes to our weight, the Lord looks at it totally different, right? When you hear those words, we're thinking, man, I've been in this weight forever. Look at what the Lord says in 2 Corinthians 4:17. Your affliction, your weight is just a moment, just a microsecond, just a spot, and I know maybe I'm saying that and you're maybe in your mind you're thinking, but you don't know my weight. You don't know my weight, Pastor Dave. I don't. I know one thing, but our Lord does, and he wants to encourage some people in the room. He very well may encourage somebody online today where they've given up. They have a state of mind that's maybe they're discouraged over their weight. Maybe their prayer hasn't been answered. Well, that wait is just for a moment. I pray. We pray over and over. We prayed, and the guys know on Saturdays, we pray. We thank God that in the end, we're going to have perfect health. Our body will have a glorified body. Everything will be perfect. But we've prayed over and over, Lord, can you move the timetable up to, and today I say, Lord, can you move the timetable up for a couple people in the room to January 25th, where their wait would be done, where they would find themselves their answer presented by you. But while we wait, we struggle hard. James 4, verse 14 also reminds us of the same concept. 4, verse 14, why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist, a vapor, one of the versions says, that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Yes, indeed. I'm saying it, and believe me, I'm walking it out with you. The weight is like a mist, a vapor. It'll be gone so quick. We'll look back when in eternity, when we're with our Lord for billions, trillions of years, our brain can't even wrap around it, and we'll look back and, oh, that was so small. I just want to encourage you just a moment to find yourself maybe in a different spot regarding your weight, to know that, yes, indeed, it's important. We're walking out, we're stretched, we're in a spot. But it will be over. Why the big deal? Yeah, we are waiting for the return of Christ. It's a big deal. We are waiting for the fullness of our salvation. We have glimpses of it here. We don't have a clue all that the Lord really has done for us yet. We are waiting for the day when faith becomes sight. When I put that one, I can't wait. Just like I can see Terrell right now. Someday, we're going to open our eyes, Jesus right in front of us. Faith becoming sight. I want to encourage you guys one more time again before we start going down to this next guideline. Find yourself encouraged knowing this thing is real. This is real. This is not where we just try to encourage ourselves by this Bible we carry around and maybe do devotions and we just, we're hoping it's real. We wish it's real. We wonder if it's real. No, I want you to secure in your brain, absolutely, it's worth it. It's real. Faith someday will become sight, where we'll find ourselves. Yep, that was trouble. I was in trouble. I was in a weight, and it stretched me beyond stretching. I don't know about you. Some of you won't even know. You're just like, what in the world is that? Growing up, I had a action figure called Stretch Armstrong. Yeah, only about 3 and 4 maybe know what it's even about. But you know, we would go out of our way. We'd see if we could stretch an arm off, and never happened. We would pull on that thing and stretch it. You may be that one in the room that feels like Stretch Armstrong in a way, where you say, Pastor, man, my whole system, I'm on this table and I'm stretched. I'm only 6 foot tall, but I feel right now like I'm 18 feet stretched out. Can't even move. Wants to encourage you. Yep, eventually it's going to be done. Our next guideline regarding the waiting room. Guideline 3, we don't even want no part of this. This is one that surely will get in our business this morning. Guideline 3, be sure to weigh in. When we go to the doctor's office and we know what's going to happen, one of the very first things that they do, get on the scale. Right? We're already stressed. Yeah. We're like, can I skip that this time? Just take my blood pressure instead. I don't want to step on the scale. You know what? This morning, the Lord is going to just stir in our hearts, hopefully a couple minutes where, in a way, we're going to be asked to weigh in. Where in front of our Lord, we're just going to be so vulnerable. We're going to be so vulnerable to say, okay, Lord, how much do I weigh? What baggage am I carrying? Am I overweight with baggage? Lord, as I step on this spiritual scale, is there something I need to unpack? You know, because each of us, there's potential baggage you and I don't dare carry. But sometimes we find ourselves carrying. Let's continue on with our passage, and you'll see some advice regarding this. Verse 12, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. So you can see right there, some weights and balances and some changes and some potential wardrobe attire changing. You see two very different attires. And of course, we need to choose wisely. We need to go out of our way to choose wisely. We need to say, okay, I see that in verse 12. I want to put aside the deeds of darkness and go out of my way to put on the armor of light. You know very well about the armor, Ephesians 6, right? Probably in some of your minds already, when you think about putting on armor, you're already there. Ephesians 6, 10 through 8. We know it says, put on the whole armor of God. And in that series of verses, verse 18 ends with, and be alert. Be alert. So, of course, that goes with our first point this morning. Stay awake and be alert. I need to have my spiritual eyes wide open because, as the Bible says, he's looking for a foothold. Our enemy is looking for a foothold to take us out. I wanted to say, you know what? No, you don't get. I'm going to just keep my eyes open. And even this morning, maybe, hopefully not, but maybe somebody in the room knows, you know what? I might be a little asleep. Where the Lord would maybe just lovingly come by right up, right beside your chair and just give you an elbow, spiritual elbow, where it's like, hold on, okay, love you dearly, but wake up, be alert, stay awake. We know this is not a suggestion. You hear the words that were put in there. It's a command from the great shepherd, put aside and put on. Every morning, you know, you and I know, no doubt, we have to make some choices. We need to choose our attire. But each morning, each day we wake up, we need to choose our spiritual attire as well. Hopefully you don't put on these. I just put a couple down. Hopefully you don't put on fear or frustration or a garment of anger, anxiety, bitterness. Then when you think about Pastor Ray's message last week, he coached us up on forgiving. We don't dare find ourselves in the morning grabbing that garment that's that works of flesh, really, garment of unforgiveness and putting that on. That's too heavy for us. These are too heavy for us. We each of these are not for us as Christians. We should find, if we go out of our way to pick up one of these garments and put it on, it should be like going to the store and picking up a garment you know is like two sizes too small. And you can't even get your elbow into the sleeve. Family of God, I'm saying it to Dave as well right now. Let me not put any garment on my body, my spiritual being, that doesn't belong, right? Let's not do it. No matter what the peer pressure is, no matter what's going on, I need to determine, you know what? No. There's something much better. I'm going to coach you and aim you at some things that are much better to put on. We can choose something much better. A better fit for a Christian is found in our last guideline. This morning, we're on number 4, last guideline. Your outfit matters is what I've entitled this one. Something much better. Let's look at our last two verses. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Check out this next verse, friends. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. King James Version says, put on Christ. A much better garment for a Christian to put on Christ. Every morning, finding ourselves, say, you know what, Lord, help me put you on. We know the Bible talks about a robe of righteousness that he gifts us. We know right now this is not about us. This is not about works of righteousness that you or I could do. It's not about that. Nope. We're deciding, you know what? What all you've done for me, Lord, I want to put you on daily. I want that whole concept, this verse, to engulf us where we would say, okay, what does it mean to me? What does it mean to my daily walk? What does it mean to my words? What does it mean to my actions? What does it mean to my marriage? What does it mean to my finances? Because you know what? Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, we can read it. It affects us, hopefully. It hopefully gets in our shoes where, all right, where we walk out of here different. The Lord would just say to all of us, clothe yourself with me. Put aside that other junk. Clothe yourself with me. It's found in Galatians 3:27 as well, this idea. We're instructed in Galatians 3:27 to be clothed with Christ. And if you look at that verse, you'll see clothed with Christ after salvation. We need to over and over decide, I'm going to be clothed with you. Ephesians 4:22-24, we find it again. Multiple places in the Bible. Realistically, if you decided to just do a study on, show me all the verses that have put on or put off in the verse, you'll see there's a list. Could have highlighted a couple others. Great study where just helps us to say, you know what? What does this mean? Help me put on Christ. This metaphor requires action. We must clothe ourselves with the Lord to walk out our season of waiting properly. I looked at a couple of commentaries. I'm going to give you a couple of notes, some highlights, and then we'll have an application we're going to work on here at the end. Barnes notes on the Bible, what does it mean to be clothed with Christ? What does it look like? Barnes notes says, put on means to absorb his principles, to imitate his example, to copy his spirit, to become like him. I like the verbs in that phrase. Absorb his principles, imitate his example, copy, become like him. If you put on Christ, you must walk like Christ. I'm going to highlight what he said we're not to put on. It's in our text today. We just need to be reminded. Paul lists behaviors in verse 13 that don't belong in the waiting room. They don't belong. They should not fit. They should not fit us. We may try to clothe ourselves with these items. They should not fit. We should find that, nope, that don't work for me. They must be put aside. These behaviors make you spiritually heavy and must be put aside. Drunkenness, immorality, jealousy, strife, indulgence. Anything that feeds the flesh, we need to find ourselves, you know what? That don't fit me. I need to put that aside. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The phrase put on literally means to clothe yourself, to wrap yourself in Christ like a garment, like armor, like identity. A perfect fit. For you and I, we have to make those choices. We have to decide, you know what? I'm going to be clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ellicott's commentary instructs us to invest yourself with Christ as to reproduce it in your outward walk and conduct. Verbs again, invest and then reproduce. Choices to be made. We are to clothe ourselves with Jesus, making him a part of our daily life. Putting on Christ means you refuse to live halfway. You refuse to blend in with darkness. You refuse to make room for the flesh. This passage is in our business this morning, absolutely, but we know the loving God, the loving good shepherd, he just wants to love us a moment and say, you know what? How about just make sure, seal it in your brain, January 25th, that above all else, I'm going to clothe myself with the Lord Jesus Christ daily. One last note, and I would like to ask the worship team if they would start aiming this way. Jameson Fawcett Brown says, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, put him on in such a way that Christ only may be seen in you. We can show a lot of different faces. We can show a lot of different things to this world. But hopefully we decide, you know what? I want Christ only to be seen in me. my finances, my business, my marriage, my all the things we could put in that phrase. Why such strong words this morning? Why a passage that's in our business like this? Because waiting exposes what's really in us. What comes out during the pain of waiting is who and what we are. Waiting reveals whether we trust God or try to take matters into our own hands. Waiting reveals whether we walk by faith or by feelings. Waiting reveals whether we are clothed in Christ or clothed in self. In the waiting room, God is shaping your walk. And of course, that is never fun. No one wants something cut off or shaped or... While we wait, though, we must put on Christ. So one final question, some questions for us to work on as we get ready to close. What does your wait look like? Guideline one, we encountered admonition to be awake. So are we awake? Have you determined what is your attitude? What is your verbiage with regard to your wait? Do you feel you've just been lost? You're left? God's forgotten you? Have you determined this is a temporary season, or you're just stuck? He's forgot about you. Are you overweight spiritually? Are you wearing the proper attire? These are questions for us to think through this morning as we get ready to close. You see, to me, I believe the King is coming. I believe my story and your story is not finished. Whatever the wait looks like right now, yes, indeed, there may be trouble. You may be stressed out, and you may say, Dave, I can barely walk in here this room, but I just want to encourage you. The God we serve, the Good Shepherd, has not forgotten you. Not forgotten you. Your story is not finished. God is working in the waiting, and I believe breakthrough is on the way. I got one last question, and then we're going to close. Do you have the Lord? It's one thing for me to have a message on being clothed with the Lord, but if you don't have the Lord, this whole idea is confusing. You're hearing phrases, you're hearing words, and it doesn't make sense. Maybe somebody in this room, maybe somebody online, would say, you know what? I like the idea. It sounds interesting, but I don't have the Lord. I'll put a painting up. And while I was doing research regarding this passage, I ran across the story. This painting is called The Conversion of St. Augustine. St. Augustine, in 386 AD, was overwhelmed by a sin, and he heard a child's voice chanting, "Take up and read." He looked around, and there were some kids playing in a playground, and he heard it. He hadn't heard it before. "Take up and read." He initially thought maybe it was just kids singing, but then he felt God speak into his life, "That is a command to you. Take up and read." He opened his Bible to Romans 13, which instructed him to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that moment, St. Augustine was converted. And then this painting was painted to capture the moment. I'll be down here shortly with you on the floor. And if you're in this room and you would say, you know what? I don't have the Lord to put on. Man, I'll tell you right now, I would love to be the dude. I'd love to be the dude and say, you know what? Let's fix that. Let's fix that right this moment. You don't need to walk out of the room. And if you're online, I want to speak at you as well. If somebody is watching this morning, don't dare miss this moment right now. If you don't have Christ in your life, if you don't have Christ to clothe you, stop even now and say, you know what? It's time for me to go after God with my whole heart. We're going to do something very special. As you know, each week, the worship team coaches us up, and they give us a final song. If you, family, would do something special, we're just going to support them in a special way. If you would just find yourself, come right down here. I'm going to pray over you before we do this. Come right down here, all of you, right down here close. If you would come. And we're going to support the worship team here in just a second. We're just going to sing along with them, so it's going to be easy. No pain. So if you would, go ahead and come this way. I'm going to pray over you. And if you're in this room, I'm serious. I want to talk to you. You just come right up to me and say, I'm that dude. I'm that. I don't have Christ to clothe myself with. And I want to be prayed over. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray for you. Then the worship team is going to do what they always do. We're going to celebrate. We're going to support them a little better than we maybe do normally. We're going to be down here. We're going to worship with them. And then when Emily is done, she'll dismiss us. And if you have prayer needs, our prayer partners will be up here. But let me pray over you. Father, we need you. We need you to help us stay awake. Our inclination is to go to sleep. So help us stay awake. Lord, and while we're awake, let us be careful with our mindset, Lord. Yes, indeed, we're in trouble at times. We're in a waiting period at times, and we get messed up spiritually, mentally. Lord, let us know you haven't forgot us. No, you couldn't forget us if you had to. Lord, and at times, Lord, even this morning, each of us maybe are standing in front of a spiritual scale, saying, oh, Lord, okay, I'm going to stamp on that scale. I'm afraid, I'm vulnerable right now. And then we step on it and you have things to talk to us about. Then our last point was clothing ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we need you. We need you to help us. Lord, I pray over each one now as we get ready to worship for a minute. Lord, be with them. You know the needs in this room. You know their weights. You know everything they desire. You know the singles dreaming of their mate. You know ones that are sick. You know the ones that got financial issues. You know the ones that maybe have something in their marriage. You know the kids dreaming of what adult life will be like. Let us wait well, God. Let us find ourselves over and over again. Said it's for me and my house. I will clothe myself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, be with them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Family, let's worship with Pastor Emily and the team.
Thank you for joining us in the Tiffany Fellowship Sermon Series. We truly hope that you were moved by the Word of God. It is our desire to see you built up in your faith, adding to the unity and strength of God's kingdom. You're invited to get connected at Tiffany Fellowship Church. If you're hearing the inspirational words of God for the first time, we would like to extend a helping hand in the decisions that are before you. So be encouraged to contact any of our staff members to meet and pray over the life-changing choices God has for you. As we close, our prayer is that the Lord will richly bless you, showing His kindness, compassion, and love to you. As well, if you are so moved, we would like to afford you the opportunity to give generously in support of this ministry and simply point to our available online giving opportunities. Be blessed in this day. Be continually encouraged by God's Word.